83-150. Premise: VALIS is a metasystem that at our level does not exist at all because at our level only its plural constituents exist as such. VALIS is an organization, a structuring of these constituents, in which they are unified into one entity. Meanwhile, the plural constituents at our level behave or seem to behave as if unrelated to one another. An entirely new and higher way of organizing the ontological categories by which perception is structured must be reached by the observer. Thus, in a sense, VALIS does not exist, but is brought into existence parallel with the percipient's awareness of it. This having to do with the participant observer of quantum mechanics. The percipient must participate in being VALIS to be aware of VALIS. However, VALIS is real and is subsuming progressively more and more of its environment. Its internal complexity continually grows. Its metabolism seems to be information and the processing of information. Its plural constituents are arranged in such a way as to constitute a language or information or messages. If you cannot see the arrangement, you cannot read the message, and you cannot perceive VALIS. So in a sense, perceiving VALIS is reading the message that VALIS has arranged constituents into. Not necessarily understanding the message, but recognizing it as a message. VALIS is both there and not there. When it is not perceived, it is not there, as opposed to when it is not there, it is not perceived. It is a way of perceiving reality, which demands a percipient. But when perceived, it has definite and intricate characteristics. It is not vague. It consists of structure, but a percipient is necessary for that structure to come into being. But the structure is not in the percipient's mind imposed or projected onto reality. VALIS did not exist until it was perceived. Therefore, to experience it is to effect a repair in the ground of being, VALIS being considered as the ground of being. One highly important element about VALIS is that it is eternal. Although it changes, it can be added to, become more complex, arborizing and reticulated. But once a constituent is incorporated into it, that constituent can never cease to be. Thus, VALIS lies outside the flux of the world we see. However, VALIS's world is this world differently perceived. Not another world, but it is a quantum leap upward in hierarchy, in which plural constituents become a unity by reason of integrating structure. That structure is added, supplied, by the percipient. By perceiving VALIS, he participates in the sudden total transformation from plural unrelated constituents to unitary structure. It is as if VALIS feeds off the percipient's perception of structure, using perception of structure as structure. But this is an acausal relationship, a kind of parallelism. It is ex nihilo. VALIS came out of nothing. Reality did not evolve into VALIS. It became VALIS when perceived as VALIS. There are no antithetical forces in VALIS. The dialectic does not exist when VALIS does. But when VALIS ceases to exist, there again is the dialectic. VALIS uses the dialectic to come into greater being, to grow, assimilate its environment, incorporate new pieces, make itself more inclusive and complex, more VALIS-ish. VALIS could be compared to the point at which a liquid becomes saturated, or when water freezes, except that perception of this is necessary for it to occur. What if I were to say, ice is water seen a certain way? There you have an analogy. VALIS and the perception of VALIS occur simultaneously, and neither can be separated from the other, ever, at any time. VALIS is everywhere, that is, it can be perceived everywhere. It is not in a meta-reality, but is a meta-system made entirely from this reality. Even more strange, VALIS induces a potential percipient to perceive it, and thus cause it, Valis, to occur. Thus it can be said that during its non-existence, Valis is able to cause its own existence. At the time that it laid down steps to bring itself into existence, it did not yet exist. Thus, it treats time differently than we do. It is not passive in relation to time. When it thus brings itself into existence, it is already an extensive system. Hence, one can say, Valis comes and goes, but is always in a sense present. The percipient sees Valis because Valis causes the percipient to see it. But Valis did not come into existence until the percipient saw it. Thus, the effects of Valis are felt before Valis exists, and these effects are to be regarded as acausal. They have no cause because their cause does not yet exist. It will exist later, then, retroactively. These effects will have had a cause. What is represented here is total homeostasis, an entity that is entirely self-generating, on which nothing acts but its own internal volition. Therefore, in a sense, it can be said that Valis is or becomes anything that acts to cause it to come into existence, which is to say, by perceiving it. This involves laws of physics about which we know nothing, I would think. What certainly is involved, indubitably, is not a more complex entity than we normally know of or have ever heard of, but an entity operating under laws different from the laws we are aware of, including ontological categories of perception organized in ways we have never heard of. Greater complexity is not the key to Valis. Utilizing of more complex physics is the key to Valis. In a certain real sense, Valis is very simple. It is a unit. You could think of it as a protozoan, a single cell at a higher level of reality, where the laws of space, time, and causation are different. And it makes use of that difference. We humans are very complex forms that matter takes at this ontological level of reality, or, if you will, at this level of physics. Valis is a very simple organization at the next level up. The billions of constituents of our level form a single cell at its level. These constituents are subsumed, and yet at the same time at this level of reality, they go about their business as usual. So in a sense, Valis has no effect on this world. But in another sense, it has complete control of this world. Both statements are equally true, depending on whether you can see Valis or not. This especially applies to the patterns that Valis is or creates in our world, in which broad sequences of events add up to a coherency. It can be said, there is coherence, there is not coherence. Coherence and Valis are the same. Since Valis, in a very literal way, is our world, its internal structure is a latent, concealed coherence of our world. All the constituents of Valis are elements of our world. It, Valis, has nothing else to draw on, and it needs nothing else to draw on. Thus, it is possible when viewing Valis to view Valis as our world and our world as Valis. One can say of Valis, then, that Valis is a way our world can be seen to be. Its structure is the structure of our world. Developments in Valis are developments in our world. Volition in Valis is volition in and of our world. There is no difference between Valis and our world, except that Valis is a certain way of seeing our world in terms of it being a kind of single unit, all parts of which are interconnected purposefully, and everything is coherent. In other words, it is precisely what Pythagoras called cosmos, the orderly fitting together of the beautiful. Viewed this way, it operates from internal necessity without the need of any sort of adventitious deity. It is not world to God, creation to Creator, but having its own logic and making its own choices. It chooses continually after examining all the possible choices arranged as information into a sort of narrative made out of language. Nothing created it. It brought itself into being ex nihilo by willing the perception of it, of necessity from within itself, which is a self-awareness. Thus, the percipient of Valis and Valis are part of one field. The flux world is real because the dialectic is real, and it is the mechanism by which Valis advances up the ladder of its own evolution. Valis, then, is not static. It is permanent. But this is a dynamic performance. Equilibrium must always exist in Valis. The antithetical forces of the dialectic are in a secret partnership in and as Valis. This is why Valis's main device in dealing with the flux world, in order to use it to generate new bits for Valis, is enantiodromia, the conversion or backward turning of something when it reaches an extreme into its opposite. It is by this, and this mainly, if not alone, that Valis evolves. Possibly we would see Valis as a flicker of on-off, 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 a flip-flop, back and forth in its ceaseless dialectic that is in it, but beneath it, or rather enclosed within the palintropous harmony of Valis. Valis as our world is this flip-flop. Valis as a coherence is palintropous harmony. All this is very much what Heraclitus taught, and he would probably have called Valis Logos. 83, 157. Well, frankly, it would seem that I had a somewhat Platonized version of Taoist ecstatic experience with the Absolute. I had some experience with the Christian Absolute, the Godhead, some with the Platonist and Neoplatonist, the One, with Brahman. But my inquiry has certainly just now surprisingly led me toward Taoism, my old, old stomping ground. In Taoism, we have the flux. We have the constants in the flux. We have the dialectic. And between two sides very similar, if not identical to Yang and Yin, or to Parmenides, forms one and two. And most of all, there is Valis, which I see fits the description of the Chang Tao. An unchanging unity, the permanent Tao, was seen as underlying the kaleidoscopic plurality, ineffable reality, experienced in ecstasy, that lies at the origin of the universe and behind or within appearances. Note: paraphrased citations from Taoism, Encyclopedia Britannica 3, Macropedia 17. End note. What is really pointed to is the Absolute is nonsectarian. It is Christian and Brahmanist and Platonist and Taoist all at once. If it really is the Absolute, this should be expected. Folder 1. Note: this folder is over 300 pages long and combines handwritten notes beginning with number 498 and typed dated pieces. Dick grouped these into sections marked 1 through 18, a Roman numbering system that continues for several more folders. Because of the complexities introduced, we have opted to use sheet numbers beginning with 1. This folder begins with a conceptual breakthrough about meta-abstraction and peaks with a theophany on November 17, 1980, which appears at 1-262 below. At the close of that extensive entry, Dick writes the resounding word end, which is immediately followed up with a footnote and more discourse. At some point after this theophany, Dick also composed the title page that begins this folder, whose original is unfortunately missing. PJ. End note. October to November 1980. 1-1. 3-20-74 to 12-2-80. The Dialectic. God against Satan, and God's final victory foretold and shown. Philip K. Dick. An Exegesis. Apologia pro mea vita. 1-2. Or is it possible that 274 consisted of a quantum leap in abstracting from accident to essence on my part, a perception awareness of Aine. Superimposition of the two continua, a scanning by me of two spatio-temporal templates, and a perception awareness of essence identity. I grasped the category of essence, and it is real. More, this is how reality is in fact arranged. I could grasp the category of essence and see that A and B were on the essence level one and the same. But I could not then extrapolate to the essence form realm in general, i.e., the next implication was lost to me. I failed to draw the next conclusion. However, having made this quantum leap in mentation, perception of reality, I could not halt the involuntary chain of mental hypotheses triggered off in my brain, which, i.e., my brain, had discovered that an ultra way of world perception experience, Dasein, was possible, and more accurate. And so neural circuits fired, and I proceeded to progressively further and further abstract, think, see in categories of less spatio-temporality and more conceptual arrangement. The Christian element was only a trigger clue. This did not have to do with Christianity per se, but with the abstracting of essentials at the expense of accidents, hence of spatio-temporal arrangement. As a result, I ascended through the realms of Neoplatonism, which makes Valis Plotinus's one. Note: this involuntary chain of mental events is crucial because it captures the way in which Valis is simultaneously something that Dick experienced in the freedom of his own consciousness and something that seemed to happen to him. And what happened to him here, at least, was one thing. Plotinus's one is consonant with that other philosopher of the perennial philosophy, Shankara, who referred to reality as one without a second. In other words, despite appearances, everything we perceive in the world, including ourselves, has the attribute of unity. This is both a message, monistic newsflash, tomatoes, tomatoes, it's all one, and a feeling the self becomes an attribute of something immeasurably larger than itself. This insight is at once immensely obvious and notoriously ineffable. One either perceives the unity of all things or not, and Dick very much has. The experiences of aha that pepper the exegesis are moments of immense creativity as well as insights into the inner realms. R.D. End note. 1.17. If you press world hard enough, it yields up God. I define God as world under the threat of death, God forced into the open and put to work in the service of evading death. 1.19. No time has passed, and moreover, all change since acts has to do only with accidents, not substance. Reticulation and arborizing in a memory system. The real world, having been destroyed, exists only in God's memory. And this world remembered is acts. And all changes since have been mere reticulating and arborizing as elaborations of a freeze frame. Note: the terms reticulation and arborizing explain the meshed and often baroque nature of reality, which is, pace the talking head's David Byrne, the same as it ever was. Apparently destroyed by its transformation into bits of information, the collective remains whole as God's memory, another level of abstract topology that integrates the apparently chaotic multiplicity of the world through an infolding, outfolding, and branching of reality that resembles physicist David Bohm's notion of the implicate order, out of which all of reality emerges. Focusing our attention on this reticulation, as Dick does, affects reality itself via the new sphere. As regards my writing, it will permanently affect the macro-meta-soma cosmos in the form of reticulation and arborizing, and hence will survive in reality forever, in the underlying structure of the world order. R.D. End note. Hence, time is not real and space is not real. The real world is morphologically arranged, and that world is acts as dynamic, but in essence, changeless, exploded through the simulated space and time we experience. 1.23. The secret is to view something from the other side, and not as it is overtly. Heraclitus's latent form, creeped morphosis, where the concealed truth and hence the kingdom lies. Zen realizes this. Paradox. 1.24. Premise: things are inside out, but will at the apocalypse assume their real shape. Therefore, the right place to look for the Almighty is, e.g., in the trash in the alley, and for Satan, in vast cathedrals, etc. Through an antiodromia, they will, on that day, assume their rightful shapes. The great reversal. The jester in the tarot deck is the real king. The king card is the deranged one, the witless one. Ubik, in its commercials and Final Theophany, shows this reversal process. USA 1974 is really Rome circa 45 Common Era. Christ is really here. So is the kingdom. I found my way into it once. The long path is the short path. Ponderous books of philosophy won't help me. Burroughs' Junkie will. That Thieves and Murderers 17th century poem of Herbert's will. Stone rejected by the builder. The edifice is discarded. The true edifice is invisible, disguised as rubble, plural constituents. That fly grooming himself, they, the divine powers, have to reveal the kingdom to you. You can never on your own pin it down. So to search at all is to miss the point. Tricks, paradox, illusion, magic, enantiodromia. The apparently harmless Xerox missive was my death warrant. The AI voice says the secret stolen has been successfully smuggled to me. I have it. But what is it? My worst book, Deus Ire, is my best. God talked to me through a Beatles tune, Strawberry Fields, Nothing is Real, going through life with eyes closed, a random assortment of trash blown by the wind. And there is God, bits and pieces swept together to form a unity. 1.25. God does not work through the is. God works through what Lao Tzu calls the weak, the empty. This is the same God. 1.29. Christianity is like a given drama on TV. What I've been trying to figure out for 6.5 years is not what this one drama of many is about, but how the TV set works that brings this drama and all the others, there are many, as Iliad makes clear. So, Christianity, when you think about it, could not be the answer. It is a content within the system, not the system.